What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Toxin. It is October 23rd, episode 266, and a much somber episode tonight as the Red Raiders suffer their first loss of the season against Arizona State this past weekend. So we have that game to get into, to discuss, and we have the struggling Oklahoma State Cowboys, struggling is putting it lightly, coming to town. So probably much more coverage on the Arizona State game than looking ahead to Oklahoma State for this week. But we've got a lot to get into. So with all of that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, where this past Saturday, the Red Raiders dropped their first game of the season at the hands of the Arizona State Sun Devils in a 26-22 loss. A last-minute touchdown from Arizona State with about 30 seconds on the clock was the nail in the coffin for you. You were able to get the ball down to give yourself a Hail Mary chance, but the ball fell to the ground, as did the full field goal post, almost decapitating several people. Very dangerous situation there at the end of the game. But the Red Raiders in a situation that I think we all would have taken the lead with 2 minutes left to go in the game. Defense on the field couldn't get the stop that you needed. Arizona State scored, but it was a struggle for the most of the game from the offensive side of the ball. I thought the defense played pretty well in this one. Your thoughts now that we've had several days to reassess the defeat at the hands of the Sun Devils?
Yeah, it's a tough loss. Going into the season, pretty much everybody say, hey, there's a star of that game. Circle that one. That's a tough one. And it was. And Arizona State rested up a couple people. Sam Levitt played really well, at least well enough to get them out of it. And you just couldn't get enough stops or giving up yardage, however you want to put it, in the end. We'll kind of get into some more specifics. But yeah, it sucks to lose now when you're essentially halfway through the season and you still got five important games left, two very, very important ones. You got to make sure you keep that one in the loss column and don't let that grow at this point.
Yeah, this was a motivated Arizona State team. You could tell they just got their ass handed to them against Utah. Of course, it was with the backup quarterback, but you know, they had top 10 Texas Tech coming to town. You knew they were going to be excited for this one. They have a good coach. They got a good team. You knew that they were going to be pumped for it. Were you going to be able to match their energy? And I just don't think you did. I think they were the team that wanted to win this game a little more than you did up until the very end, where you finally showed some signs of life offensively. But I mean, you just didn't match their energy. And I think it showed for the majority of this game. I thought your defense played pretty well. Sam Levitt, I thought, just played a little bit better, made the plays that he needed to when he needed to make them, hit a couple deep balls. Now, should those plays have counted? Probably not. But, you know, they can't take those back at this point. So he made the plays when he needed them to, and you couldn't get the stops when you needed to. It was a really frustrating game to watch. He just looked pretty lackluster effort-wise from the offense for the majority of the game. Defense was getting stops time and time again, keeping this a close game when your offense was just doing nothing, giving you the chance to come back at the end, provide a brief excitement for you when all of a sudden it flips from a 19-7 game to all of a sudden you're winning 22-19. What were your thoughts kind of down the stretch there of the fourth quarter in this one where it felt dead in the water, then all of a sudden looked like we might escape with a victory all of a sudden?
Yeah, your defense kept you in this so much during this game. And, I mean, you only gave up 3 field goals going into halftime. Just kept holding up. And then, yeah, at the end, you end up getting up. I don't hate just scoring on that first play because you were having trouble scoring to begin with.
Yeah.
You can't get it was, at that moment.
Yeah. It was difficult to score all day. I'm not going to get mad at us for scoring when you have the opportunity. Yeah.
No, like you're giving them a minute 50, but good defense. You finally take a lead. Can they do it under the pressure? You were in – that's the best case scenario you've been in all day at that point. Like, you know, like, yeah, it sucks you gave them so much time, but whatever. You had to take a lead when you could take a lead. You couldn't dial it in and be like, oh, let's get 4 yards here and milk some clock and then 5 yards here and milk some clock. You had to take what you could get.
Score when you can. Yeah.
Score when you can.
And I'll take having 2 minutes with the defense on the field every time. I'd still take that every time.
Like, and that's the thing. We have a different team than we've ever had before in our lives. So we were like, yeah, F it. Score, get David Bailey and Romello out there and J-Rod and let them play. We want y'all on the field. And just Levitt made enough plays. Tyson made enough plays. Last kind of thing in that sequence of the end, I did think Joey got out coached in this game as well.
Yeah.
And especially at the very end of the game there, when they were kicking back off to us and we elected to re-kick and burn 8 more seconds.
Yeah.
We burned and cost ourselves 10 seconds of negative field position when we only had 30 seconds to deal with.
Yeah, that was
very tough to watch and question, what are we doing? And not just take the ball and go, because that would have been the way better plan at that moment. And so that was very, very questionable. But you kind of brought it up too. Like, I thought we got out-coached on the offense from our offense coordinator and our head coach against Arizona State. I thought Dillingham did better of getting his guys up and prepared and ready to win this game more.
Yeah. And you kind of think back to that one possession where we finally kind of had it down in the red zone for the first time. You have a 4th and 6 and you run an option to the side. Like, just bizarre play calling there. Yeah, that shouldn't have. I was like, what? And you looked at the right side of the field there. I think he had like Coy wide open. Like, nobody was defending him. He could have done something there. It was just, and it was to the short side of the field.
It's like that joke kind of going around of everybody that plays Madden knows what to do in this situation. You run options to your field side.
Yeah, not to the other side. You gave yourself like no room. That play was a disaster from the get go. And the way that their defensive
negative 5 yards to begin with.
And their defensive was lined up to defend that play perfectly. Like, they had two guys just right there ready to go. That made no sense. And you think about it now, if you kick a field goal there, you put yourself in a different situation. Now, of course, if you score a field goal there, you know, how does the rest of the game play out? It might not play out the exact same way. So I don't want to say you kick that field goal, you win the game. It definitely changes a little bit, though.
And, yeah, that's been brought up a lot, too. Oh, kick this field goal. Well, we were at, like, 11 minutes, still couldn't score, hadn't scored a touchdown yet.
Yeah.
And you were down 2 scores.
There's no guarantee you're going to be able to drive the ball back down there ever again.
No guarantee of that. You were down 2 scores. You're making it a 2-score game to a less of a 2-score game at that point. And do you even get the ball back twice? You know? You just don't know if you're going to be in this situation to score a touchdown again. Yeah, you go out there with 0, but I think it's the right. Like, I think that was the right call at the right time. Scoring was at the right
call. Wrong play call.
But yeah, wrong play call. That should have never been on the play sheet, audible list, whatever for Hammond.
Yeah, just it's always funny the people who are like, if you just kick the field goal there, I'm like, come on, guys. Like, are y'all watching the same game that we're watching? We haven't got down to the red zone at all this entire game.
Yeah.
You just expect us to, we're going to now all of a sudden get the ball back and twice and be able to do that. I agree with the call. Didn't like the play call there.
Right.
But I agree with you on the kickoff too. It was just bizarre that and it didn't do anything field position wise for you. I think you ended up at like the same spot. You went back. Yeah. So just kind of stupid there. Some brutal decisions that, you know, probably gets the same outcome, but you get maybe a closer chance. You don't have to heave one up. Maybe you can run an actual play there at the end of the game to actually set something up.
You get at least one or two more plays out of that time.
So, a couple of baffling decisions. I thought Dillingham was I think he's a really good coach. I think he's a well-coached, this is a well-coached team. The offensive side of the ball, of course, we knew Will Hammond was getting the start going into this one. Barron was only going to be an emergency quarterback. He wasn't even suited up on the sideline, so you knew this was Will Hammond's game all the way through. The offense was pretty pathetic for the most part of this game. He had one touchdown drive in the first half where Will did hit Coy on a nice throw in the end zone. Other than that, you were, pretty pathetic offensively down until you absolutely had to start scoring with like 6 minutes left. You finally were able to get a little something going offensively. You had one drive of 11 plays, 48 touchdowns, 11 plays, 48 yards for the touchdown. Defense got the stop. You had a great special teams play by Coy Aiken to set you up. So it really wasn't much from your offense, really. They had that one play to score there. But what were your thoughts on Mac Leftwich, Will Hammond, and this offensive struggle on Saturday?
Very poopy. I mean, it was rough to watch, to be honest. And yeah, I put a lot on him. Like, we were more hopeful going into this than what was on the play sheet and got called.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was your O-line kind of getting beat a little bit too, because they weren't great. Hammond wasn't great, but Mac Leftwich, it starts with him. I don't know if I hope, I mean, the play calling will be better this way just because of the opponent, but we got to do more than just the quarterback draw, quarterback power bullshit with Hammond.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't it. And then on the passing game was non-existent too.
Yeah, it was very disappointing, I thought.
To be honest, I blame Will for a lot of that. If you really watch, pay attention to the game, if his first read wasn't there, he got skittish and tried to dip out. And the couple times he did just kind of stay in, his throws were late and behind. I mean, he got Terrence Carter hurt.
Yeah.
Because that throw was behind, and Carter's trying to make a play, and he gets flipped around because of it.
The interception was behind too. Miller should have caught that, but he put him in a tough situation.
He's making sure it's open and then throws it. And by that point, it's too late and then it's behind the guy. So it's like, man, I couldn't get anything going. The pass to Coy was nice. I mean, kind of heaved it out there and is only one spot where one person could get it. And it was a great catch. So great job there. But besides that, yeah, like the audibling to the short side of the field when the game's kind of on the line, like that's on Mac to begin with. You should – here's the play call. Go with it. Like, I have confidence in this play call. That's all that should be. It shouldn't be.
I'm pretty sure Arizona State called a timeout before that. So you even went over and discussed – or I can't remember exactly the play events. I thought there was a timeout in that area of the game that – and so that's what made it even more baffling, is that ended up being what you went to.
Yeah. And then, like, the last thing, let me scroll up on my stat sheet here. I really hated that. I mean, Jacoby was kind of dinged up, so he didn't play a lot. So I'm just going to erase that. But Cam Dickey only had 9 carries.
Yeah.
And Will had 15.
Yeah. And
at least more than half of those are design runs. Mm-hmm. He's not scrambling like Jalen Daniels out there. So, what are we doing giving our quarterback more power runs that they're also kind of ready for?
It wasn't working.
And it wasn't ever working. So, like,
one thing if it's 15 carries for like 100-something yards, but it's 15 for 47.
I never got Cam going either. That was the problem. Like, he had a long of 20, so basically he had 8 for 20 yards after that. Couldn't get going. And I think part of that's because Will, just taking the carries and taking the zone reads or whatever. Like, get your guy in a rhythm too. Let him be a bowling ball a little bit.
Yeah, I was very confused with the offensive game plan in this one. It felt like, Arizona State's passing defense was what we knew was kind of the weakness of this team. They have a pretty solid run defense. So it didn't make sense to me what your game plan was of running the ball up the middle with your second string quarterback, like we bitched about with Kittley in the past. It's like, why are you also trying to put him in harm's way. And it's one thing to do quarterback runs. I think like one of the things that Will thrives at is quarterback runs kind of to the outside. And you were just doing dives up the middle with him. You're doing powers up the middle, like right into the biggest guys in the field. Like, that's not where we want him running. We want him running to the outside. Same with Cam Dickey. I think Cam, you know, he's a better runner up the middle, but he's also really good when you get him to the outside. And there was just none of that. I think through our first three drives, we had one carry with Cam Dickey, who is coming off a 260-yard game and just dominating, and we're not getting him the ball. We're just constantly running it with Will Hammond. Our passing game was, only 167 yards in the air. I thought it was for a bad pass defense. I didn't think you made them have to defend us at all. I thought you just like ran so many simple things that like you and me could have gone out there as corners and done a decent job. Like just the plays we were running, it was a lot of screens. It was a lot of easy stuff where you weren't really challenging this defense and making them have to stop you. I just, from an offense that we've seen so far this season from Mac Leftwich, it was just very confusing to watch us go out there and be this bland and just really not aggressive, no attack mode whatsoever. Felt like we were comfortable just trying to ride the defense out on this one. It's like, you know, you're going to have to go make some plays in this one and score. Luckily, we were able to at least make this a game at the end. But, you know, for the most part of this game, I thought it was an embarrassing performance, a humbling performance for Mac Leftwich, who's gotten a lot of praise in the number one offense. But this is kind of a joke to me, especially with the hopes that we have of the season and what you went and did on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought this, like, we already started to put a lot on Mac, but he puts a lot of emphasis on how important senior quarterback Baron Morton means to you.
Yeah. His skill set. And I think that's, you know, I think we've been really right about this team so far this season, other than predicting this game. But one of the things that we've been very adamant on is if you want to get to where you want to be, it's got to be Baron. And, you know, you and me are both texting each other in this one. Hopefully that shuts up some of the Hammond over Baron people. I think this is an example of it, is your offense looked very, very different on Saturday. And, you know, whose fault is that? Is that Leftwich's fault for not being as aggressive? Is that Hammond's fault for not being able to be that aggressive? You know, who's to say? But I'm still on the train that it's got to be Baron if you want to get to the Big 12 championship. And I think Saturday confirmed that for us. Offensive stats, Hammond, 22 of 37 for 160 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Led you on the ground with 47 yards. Also had a rushing touchdown. Cam Dickey, only 9 carries, 40 yards. Not ideal there. Leading receiver on the day, Coy Aiken, 66 yards and a touchdown. Reggie Virgil had 50 yards and a touchdown. Other than that, really nobody else doing anything in the air for you there. The defensive side of the ball, I thought, you know, defense did all they could to keep you in this one. Couple big plays by Arizona State put them in scoring position. You were able to hold them to field goals on that, only field goals in the first half. The one touchdown that they had before the final drive was off that Will Hammond turnover, so they were already in field position there. And there was a, you know, you could call it a questionable roughing the passer call. I thought it was a roughing the passer, but it was on a fourth down, and so that gave them life that helped them punch the ball in for their first touchdown. But other than that, I thought the defense was doing what they're supposed to be doing. You could kind of feel maybe a little bit of loss of Skylar Howard, although I thought A.J. Holmes was pretty dang good. But I don't really know what to attribute that last drive to, but what were your thoughts on the defensive performance from this one?
Yeah, I thought the defense played well, not mind-blowing amazing like we've kind of gotten used to.
Not their best performance.
So, like, we kind of have moved the standards on them a little bit. And they're used to less, you know, somebody finally scored over 20 on us. Oh my God, the sky's falling. But like 26 should be well enough to win any game. Mm-hmm. And like we kind of mentioned, Sam Levitt played well enough. Yeah, I thought the defense played good. And like, honestly, it kind of came down to the ball just didn't bounce your way. You forced 3 turnovers.
And you had an interception hit Brandon Jordan right in the face.
3 turnovers.
Yeah.
Like, you had the ball on the ground on the goal line, and it just popped right to Jordan.
Bounced right to there.
Yeah, you had the ball on the ground a couple other times, and you just didn't get it. And you had an interception, and just,
And then their one interception was off of a tip ball, too, and just kind of, like, hangs in the air. So it's, like, four balls that went 50-50. All four of them went Arizona State's direction.
Which you could also say that's a damn good job by your defense to still only give up 26 with no turnovers.
And yeah,
that's what you did there. And then really Arizona State got, I don't know, lucky, I guess you could say, but like Brennan Jordan got burned a few times when
he had Sam Levitt
would make a play and make more time for himself. And he would have some guys deep, usually hit those guys or get a penalty, or they'd line up a half yard early so they could get a head start.
Yeah, or their left tackle would jump early. I want to talk about those. So while you brought it up, on both their big pass plays, they both had infractions that should have been called. They had their left tackle. If you watched him, he was doing the Kansas City thing where he was, he was getting a little bit of a head start, and especially on that long pass, I remember seeing him do a little bit of a head start. That's okay. I'm okay with that. Brennan Jordan got beat. The second one's really bad. That's really bad, especially because they threw the flag. And I don't know what the explanation is of not picking that up when he's halfway across the offsides. So just bizarre.
Every part of him was offsides. It's not just like a little lean of a helmet. Like you can probably smudge that away. But like his foot was over. His body is over. The only thing that was not was his back foot.
Yeah. So that's just ridiculous to me. Especially if they didn't throw a flag, it's like, okay, they missed it. But they threw the flag and they picked it up. That's bizarre to me.
Yeah.
And those are two, huge missed calls at the end of the day. That come back to bite you in the ass, because the long plays and where their offense was kind of struggling, those were some big plays. And Levitt on both of those plays got hit. Like, he just had to heave it and he threw really good, accurate balls, and Brennan Jordan was beat bad on both of them. So it was ended up being easy completions. But.
And then like two more things back to your roughing the passer. It was a good call, but Bailey's got to know to let up there.
Yeah.
Like, you can't finish that hit and you're already a little late. He lets up there.
That's fine, but he drives him.
If he would have just let go of him, even if he falls over there, he probably don't get anything. But he kept holding him and finished.
And yeah.
So it's like, dude, you were already late to the party anyways. So like, that's already a red flag, red alert type situation. So it's like, you earned that one. You can be pissed all you want, Tech fans, but like, you got to be smarter in that situation.
At first, I was upset on that, but we didn't get to see the replay. And then when they showed the replay, we were like, he puts all his weight into it, and he finishes with the little drive into the ground, and they're not going to let that happen. So,
and then lastly, I thought our coverage on Tyson was kind of questionable.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we single covered him man to man way more than we should have. And like, I don't know what we were thinking.
Yeah. And a lot of times it wasn't Bryce Pollock on him. A lot of times it was, Amir Boyd. So I don't know if we were trying to do the, all right, we're going to put our second quarter on him and double him, but we weren't doubling. Or maybe we were, and that's how we got burnt. I don't know. I'm not going to go watch this game back.
I didn't watch it back either. So no.
But yeah, it was a little, especially on his touchdown play, they ran a little pick play there, but, wasn't pass interference because they didn't make contact with the DB because Brennan Jordan just completely read it wrong. And you get let the one guy you can't wide open in the end zone. So there's obviously some frustrating moments from this defense from this game that they're probably extremely upset about and ready to get out there Saturday and let a team have it. So
that's the scary part.
The scary part. But you drop your first game of the season, kind of your thoughts on how this changes the trajectory of the season now that, all right, you have a loss in the conference. You already in the Big 12 conference have a very small margin for error. This loss being kind of the one that you can take. What are your thoughts on how that affects us the rest of the season?
you knew you kind of had like one loss in the bag, but that's it. Like you don't have any more room for error.
Yeah.
So your games against Kansas State next week is massive. And your game against BYU could be a potential like top 10 type matchup at home. And we know they're a very good coach team and they're in the top 10 right now. So, and they're literally in your way of what you want to do. So like if this doesn't get their attention and make some coaching changes, make some players change something, attitude, in-game stuff, I don't know. But it's got to, because you can't afford to lose a second game, because no one respects the Big 12. They're not going to take a second team from the Big 12 unless it's in the Big 12 championship game type situation. So can't have another one. And the other thing is you kind of got to start pad statting a little bit also.
Yeah.
And making wins look bigger and better and whatnot. You can't be nice and humble and sportsmanship-like anymore.
Yeah, you know, that's luckily most of our wins, you know, all of our wins have been pretty handily. So you want to keep that going, especially against a bad team like Oklahoma State this weekend. But, yeah, Kansas State becomes a hugely important game, and that's what scares me is you just have never played good in Manhattan and never played good against Kansas State. And so that game will always bring trauma to me. And now we know it's kind of like for your season and for everything you hope for, you got to go into Manhattan in this next weekend and you got to win there. And then that brings on a big one at BYU. But yeah, you definitely don't have room to drop another game here. I don't think you can still maybe drop one if you want to make the Big 12 championship, but it's going to make it really hard. There is a lot of teams at the top that, Cincinnati's been pretty good this year. BYU's been pretty good this year. So if you want to control your own destiny, you got to win every game down the stretch here.
The other thing that sucks about having these massive conferences now.
Yeah.
Literally two losses takes you out of it for the most part. Unless you beat the right people somehow and they lose. But like, you know, when we had, 10 teams not too long ago, two losses wouldn't have crushed you as bad. But now it does.
Now it does, and you got to be fans of some teams that you're probably not used to rooting for. Like this week, you've got Baylor playing Cincinnati. You got Houston playing Arizona State. I think Iowa State's got – I think Iowa State plays BYU.
Huge Iowa State fans from here.
Yeah. Iowa State has some big games for us.
Everybody we hate now.
Yeah, so Cyclone up, baby. Cyclone Larry, we're your friends for the rest of the season. We need Iowa State to come up big for us. We need some other teams to – do a little helping, and maybe, you know, college football is crazy. You never know what's going to happen. So maybe in a couple of weeks we'll be, you know, after Kansas State and we win, maybe things will be looking a lot different at that point. But right now Club Red is closed because we did not get the win. So for the first time this season, no Club Red for the week. So we just go ahead and shift our tailgate bet recap. My bad. We're going to pretty much go 0-for-all in all these. We had Texas Tech -9. Both of us did. We missed that. The over under was 50. Dustin had predicted a score at 35-24 Tech. I had 38-17 Tech. We both miss on the over. First half, Texas Tech -5.5. We both miss on that as Arizona State led at the half. Yeah. And then our first Texas Tech touchdown. I went Cam Dickey. Dustin went Caleb Douglas. It was Coy Aiken. So we go 0-for on our bets. But let's get that loss out of the way. Bad all around. And it's time to gear up and get ready for the 1-6 Oklahoma State Cowboys. 0-4 in Big 12 conference play as they get set to head to Lubbock for a Saturday 3:00 kickoff. Texas Tech 6-1 and 3-1 in the conference now. Fell back to 14 in the AP poll after the loss. What are your thoughts on the upcoming matchup against the Oklahoma State Cowboys, who come in just struggling, clinging to life on their season, and an opportunity for the Red Raiders to get right after the first loss of the season?
Yeah, massive get right game and great opponent to have it against.
Yeah.
Be way different if we had, you know, BYU or somebody else right now, but also maybe having that revenge factor in our bag is getting wasted. But I like having kind of a disrespectful, but to a cupcake game at this point. You're also going to like rest Baron Morton. You might rest a couple other guys that are dinged up just because of the matchup. And yeah, Oklahoma State's just in shambles. Their quarterback situation doesn't matter who they throw out. They all suck. So I don't expect much from them there. And a lot of their players have entered the portal to save their eligibility year.
I think like a receiver already entered today. So it's just like,
yeah, he wasn't even on the, I don't think he's played at all this year. Cause I was looking for him, but like, nothing there. But yeah, they're in shambles and they're running into a buzzsaw. So what's about to happen.
Yeah, I can't tell if I'm like, if I was wishing that we were playing Kansas State this week, because I like kind of like the Arizona State thing where it's like you took your loss and then you want to like take it out on somebody. I feel like it might have set up well, but I think for us, it's good that it's Oklahoma State this week. That way, you know, I feel like the defense is going to be playing with their hair on fire. They're going to be pissed. They're going to come out there. They're going to work some things out. And Oklahoma State's going to have to be the brunt of that. Offensively, you can obviously work on some things with Will Hammond and see how that goes, as he's been announced as starter for this game. So I just think it's probably unfortunate timing for Oklahoma State to have to play Texas Tech, because I think you're going to have a bunch of dudes who are pissed and ready to come out there and get things right on Saturday. And I don't think it matters who is going to be in front of them this week. It just happens to be the worst team in the conference. So that's why you're seeing a spread like 36.5 right now for this one. But definitely interested to see the offenses bounce back this week. Will Hammond announced the starter today. Thoughts on him and the chance for the offense to kind of get back on track with Will Hammond, as we presume that we're resting Baron this week, so he'll be good to go once we roll into Manhattan the following week.
Yeah, I like your point you just made of like maybe the offense can figure some stuff out or try some stuff. Like, let's not just run the basic quarterback power because we know Will can do it. Like, let's try some actual pass plays and get through some reads and block for the guy and like almost scrimmage, like set some rules on him. Like, try to get through this.
Yeah.
We probably has a little room for error. Like, we can. If you get sacked, it's not the biggest thing in the world in this game. Like, it's going to be all right. Let Howard Sampson do his job. You sit here and make a throw. Like, figure that out. Everybody they've played in the Big 12 scored 40 points this year. So the expectations are high for the offense, and their defense is low.
Yeah.
Like, you should – or – and, like, I wouldn't be surprised at this either. Like, should be a big Cam Dickey game again. Like, quit running quarterback power. Give him the ball. Give Adam Hill the ball if Jacoby's injured.
Yeah.
Like, don't even run Will Hammond once. I don't care. We know how that is. We don't need to run it again. Make him throw it. Make those other two or three running backs run the ball.
Yeah. Dickey should get a lot of work this game. Keep Jacoby a little bit, you know, fresh. Get him a couple plays, but I know he's kind of nursing an ankle, so you don't want to see a whole lot of workload for him.
No.
Yeah, ideal scenario would be Mitch Griffith and Adam Hill carrying you to the end of this game. Get those guys out and keep your guys healthy. I want to see the passing game get going. It really hasn't been going for the last few games. You know, Kansas, we didn't have it. Arizona State, it really wasn't there. I think you need to get these receivers incorporated back in the offense. As we've talked about, like, that's the key to this team, is the ability to beat you both ways through the air and on the ground. I believe that's with Baron, but we know Will Hammond can do it. We've seen him do it at Utah, for slinging the rock around and making some really good passes. I think you got to get his confidence up. I think you got to take some shots down the field. And I think you got to really use Caleb Douglas, Reggie Virgil, Coy Aiken, get some of those other receivers out there. I think Terrence Carter's probably going to be out of this game. That's fine. Yeah, you don't need him. Get your receivers involved in this one. It would be nice to see us have a good day through the air and get that kind of part of the offense going again. We know we can run the ball. We're going to need to be able to pass it with consistency, get those receivers open, get them
to areas where they can make plays. So that's kind of what I'm watching for offensively. Defensively, what do you expect from the defense after last week? I just expect them to be playing like madmen out there, and I think it's going to be probably a sack party in the backfield and maybe a big J-Rod day, which every day is a big J-Rod day. So
I think it's going to look a lot like those first three games we played. And
yeah,
I don't know if the sack party is going to happen just because the quarterbacks might be pooping their pants and getting rid of the ball as fast as they can. They don't care where they throw it to. Like those first three games, we didn't have very many sacks just because of that situation. And I'd expect, you know, Doug Meacham's telling his new OC, who was also a Texas Tech coach, not like, get the ball out of this. Whoever's playing quarterback, get it out of their hands or else they're going to get killed. And it's not going to be a good day for us. So, like, I think your game plan's a little more tailored to those that Oregon State game rather than
for sure
what you have been playing against. And, yeah, the fire is going to be lit under them just because they didn't get any turnovers. They just didn't quite do enough of getting home to prevent the big play. They let some people get over the top of them. So they definitely have some notes to take care of.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely do. And so, this is a defense that likes to learn, I think, likes to make adjustments and get back out there. And so I bet they're eager to get out there and get back to the defense that we've been seeing them have. Not that they were bad at all, but get out there and start and beat these teams to the ground like we've seen them do so far this season. So I expect big things from the defense, probably several turnovers. And so I think they're going to have a good day out there Saturday. So not a whole lot to really get into with this Oklahoma State game. We know this is going to be, you don't want to overlook anybody because you never know what can happen in college football. But if you have the team that you think you have, that we think we have, that's going to be playing hopefully on a Big 12 championship Saturday, you got to go out there and destroy this Oklahoma State team on Saturday. They shouldn't be any close to you. So with that said, let's do our tailgate bets for the week. The spread, Texas Tech -36.5. It's a large spread, but Dustin's mentioned Oklahoma State has let every Big 12 team score 40 plus points on them. This defense is going to probably cause several problems for this offense. I've got Tech covering the 36.5.
Let me do my math. I do not.
All right.
Just barely. I have them. I'll go ahead and get into that next part. I have them winning 45-10.
Okay.
Couldn't quite get myself closer to that 50 mark with what Will Hammond's tape just put out last week.
Okay. I also have the under. I was pretty close to you. I was going 44, but I'm going to go with 3 points, 44-3.
Ooh, wow. I love that.
I think our defense is just going to be angry. And I don't think Oklahoma State's offense is going to be able to do anything against this defense when they're playing like that.
Go for the shutout.
That's what I think. We're going to go for the shutout. But they might have like a field goal against our, that gets in there, but I feel like they want to get that shutout because they haven't had it yet. First half spreads, Texas Tech -22.5. You think we cover the 22.5 at halftime?
Yeah, because I think we have a big second quarter after we have worn them out a little bit, made some minor adjustments, and second quarter kind of blows up.
I think this is a game that we score a lot in the first half and then kind of just ride it out in the second half. So I think we'll be covering at the end of the first half and then just kind of riding this one out, hoping everyone stays healthy and get on with the W. Our prop for this game, who we talked about the passing game needing to be a big part of this one. Who do you have as the leading receiver for the Red Raiders on Saturday?
I'll go back with Coy Aiken, the most probably reliable receiver, but I think he can help Will get on track in the passing game.
I'm going to go with CD. I'm going to go with Caleb Douglas on this one. I think it's important to have him or Reggie Virgil have big games in this one. I think you've seen moments from Coy. Obviously, he had a few plays in this last game, but I think it's important to get one of them going. I'm going to go with Caleb Douglas, who's kind of been relatively quiet here lately. So I'm going to have a, hopefully he has a big game. So that does it for Texas Tech this week. Big chance to just bounce back, go kick some ass, get an easy win, and get on to bigger, better things with Kansas State on the horizon. So hopefully the Red Raiders are able to do that. Before we get out of here, it's time for our final shots for the week. Dustin, I don't know if your final shot's going to be the same as mine. Probably so, but Texas Tech and Kirby Hocutt has announced that tortillas have been banned from the Jones, that you are not allowed to throw tortillas anymore. If you throw a tortilla and it goes on the field, it will be a $100,000 fine. Or I think the first time would be a warning, and then the second time it's a $100,000 fine from the conference perspective. But if you throw a tortilla as a Tech fan, they have increased security, video cameras and everything. They will be able to find you, and they will remove you from the stadium and remove your rights to go back to Texas Tech games. So your thoughts on the tortilla ban that is taking over Red Raider Nation Twitter this week?
I'm not surprised that the pendulum swung back hard the other way. Because I don't know how you police it halfway and do a one and done type throw. And so you have too many people and that don't listen in that stadium, and it's not going to happen.
Too many college kids, too many drunks, other fan bases.
And like, I wish he would have just never leaned into it so hard.
Yeah.
Because that helped start the fire of this situation. But here's my other thing is like, I was thinking back, and I was like, we didn't do this when I was in school at all in the late 2000s. Like, this was like a 90s thing and then like a very recent thing.
Yeah, so that's my thing is it's always kind of happened, but it's always been sporadic. It's never been as big as it is now. And so I think people are obviously making a way bigger deal out of it because we feel like we're being targeted. Like this is a thing against us, but they gave us an opportunity and y'all still fucked with it and couldn't stop throwing tortillas. And we definitely should have gotten more penalties in the Kansas game than we did. You know, the pocket knife thing might as well have been for another tortilla because your friend who was on the sideline said that they could have called a lot more.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's like, we're making this out to be some big monumental tradition that Texas Tech has, but I don't think it's like that big of a tradition. I think it's just because of the Kirby thing, because of recently, it is kind of a cool thing. I think it's gotten grown to be bigger than it ever has been. But, you know, I grew up going to games. I remember seeing tortillas, but it was only like maybe a small section. And we'd all just kind of laugh and be like, haha, here's the tortillas. And then it's kind of grown over time to where it's been like more people throwing tortillas. But recently, over like the last 5 years, I think is where it's been at its biggest. So I don't think this is anything that's like people are thinking like it's always been like this, that every game that we throw, everybody throws tortillas. It's never been like that. Not until like really these last couple of years.
Yeah. Like end of last year, it kind of started to pick up steam. And then we leaned into it this year. I hope that people listen and don't do it. And I hope that the deterrent of you're going to lose your ticket privileges for all athletics for the rest of the year, maybe more, I don't know. But at least that, I hope that helps because we have a really good basketball team coming up.
Yeah.
And really good softball season coming up.
You bet you will not see me with a tortilla in my hand.
I won't be using tortillas, which I have in the past. I won't say I won't. I mean, literally post a picture of one from last game.
Yeah.
But I have only threw once at kickoff. I threw it up straight up in the air also. So don't do it. I will say that. Like, support Kirby in this thing. Don't hurt the team. Don't do it.
Yep.
And help deter other people.
Yep. I just think, I mean, too many people just kept throwing it, won't listen. And it's always just a few people who ruin it for everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how this one goes. They gave us an opportunity. They told us, all right, you get one throw. And then after that, you get warned. And then anything beyond that's a penalty. And people still were throwing, despite the warnings in the games from Casey Cowan. It is what it is. And people still threw tortillas, and this was inevitable. If it was going to keep happening, it was going to keep becoming an issue. And I think the people to blame on this one aren't Kirby. I don't think it's your Mark's problem. I think it's all those drunk people or whatever, whoever didn't listen to the rules and kept throwing tortillas. It's this one's on you more than it is on those guys. They had to do something. And so, yeah, unfortunately the tortilla toss will no longer be, I thought about this the other day. Are they going to have to remove it from College Football 26 now? Like,
I didn't know it was in there.
It was in College Football 26. So, you know, they're going to have to remove that.
It only happened once.
It happens after every kick.
Oh no. Yeah. Got to reprogram that.
Got to reprogram it. Yeah. So I was thinking about
that. They should also put in the Arizona State slamming the goalposts on somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost killing anybody who was underneath that.
Good almost look. Hit one of our players.
I know. I think it was Kelby Valson who was there. It was just, but anyway, so that will do it for us here this week at Tailgate Talks. We hope you enjoy your weekends. Enjoy rooting on the Red Raiders this Saturday, getting back in the win column, hopefully against Oklahoma State, and gearing up for this back half of the season. Hope you have a good weekend. We'll catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.